Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Legend by Dylan Allen, narrated by Stephen Dexter and Robin Verne. All the magic I have known, I've had to make myself. From Magic, a poem by Shel Silverstein. Prologue. Present Day. Rivers Wild. 1. Smoke and Mirrors. Remy.
Please don't leave angry. Please.
Gigi's frail voice floats behind me, chasing me like a sinister specter. I'm nearly running by the time I reach the door of her hospital room. I pull it open and look back at her. She looks harmless lying there like that, cocooned in a hospital bed, anchored in place by the network of lines that run from a bandaged spot on her arm. But harmless is the very last thing she's proven to be. I don't know what kind of game this is, but I don't want any part of it. Her eyes are glassy with tears, and her face is as pale as the white sheet she's lying against.
It's not a game. Ask your mother. Read that letter.
Oh, I'll be asking her. You stay the fuck away from me. I pointed her with the same hand I'm clutching the envelope she gave me. The slip of paper wrapped around a set of keys weighs nothing, yet my hand aches from holding it. I don't want to read it. I step out of the room and stare unseeingly down the corridor. The nurse's station is a hub of activity. Doctors, patients, family members dart past me. I just stand still and try to process what Gigi Rivers has just told me. For the first time in a long time, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. When my friend Hayes called and asked me to come to the hospital, I didn't ask why. I got in my car and drove as fast as I could. Our families have been on opposite sides of the most mysterious Cold War for almost 30 years now. When we both became the heads of our families around the same time last year, we decided enough was enough. Since then, he's become one of my best friends. I spent the drive, my throat tight with anxiety, my heart hammering, preparing myself to console him. Instead, I walked into an ambush.
Remy, are you okay?
Suddenly, Hayes is standing beside me, his hand gripping my shoulder and his face drawn and etched with worry. I shake his hand off and turn so we're face to face. He's waiting for me to answer and looks as tense as a runner waiting for the crack of the referee's gun to start his race. I stare at him. My face feels like granite, and the pressure in my jaw from my clenched teeth is giving me a headache. His discomfort grows with each second that passes. I watch him squirm and then ask the question his body language has already answered. Did you know what she was going to say to me? He closes his eyes for a beat and nods.
Yeah, man, I did. I'm sorry.
And how long have you known? I ask him. He grimaces in remorse.
2 weeks ago.
You've known this shit for 2 weeks and you didn't think to fucking tell me, Hayes? Surprise and a sense of being betrayed make me take a step back. I peer at him, trying to see how I missed that he'd been keeping something like this from me for so long. His face twists up too, and he glances around.
Let's go talk somewhere else.
He turns without waiting for me to respond and opens a door a few feet away. I follow him inside the room.
She wasn't sure you didn't already know. I wasn't sure either. And the last couple of weeks have been a total nightmare.
None of that shit can be true. How the fuck can it be true? Things like that don't happen. That would mean we are brothers, Hayes. I look at him like he's lost his mind. He looks back at me with patient sympathy. I shake my head in denial. My father died. I have pictures from his funeral. How could they have held a funeral if he wasn't dead, man? Hayes doesn't respond.
He just watches me like he's waiting for me to answer my own question. What? I snap. Have you seen his death certificate? Why the hell would I have seen his death certificate? Have you seen your father's? I challenge him. He only shrugs. I was in the room with my father when he died. You weren't even old enough to remember what yours looked like, much less exactly when he died. He says, that patient sympathy still in place. The knot forming in my gut intensifies, and I lean back against the door and stare at the ceiling as I think about the pictures from my father's funeral. I was only 2. I don't remember anything. But how could my mother and grandfather have told such a lie? My grandfather, before he died, had been my mentor and my best friend. We talked about my father all the time. He couldn't have looked me in the face and lied the way he did. I clutch the doorknob, and my sweaty palms slip off it. My heart is racing faster than I thought possible. What else have they lied about? Remy. I open my eyes and find Hayes watching me, his lips pursed, his eyes full of sympathy. I know, it's a total head job. I've only had a couple of weeks to process it. If this hadn't happened, I still wouldn't be speaking to Gigi. It's fucked me up. I've spent my whole life thinking my father was someone else too. On top of that, the woman who I've thought of as my aunt is really my mother. The man who I've come to think of as one of my best friends is actually my half-brother. Each of his statements hit me hard. I can't wrap my head around any of that. Why should we believe them now? What if this is a lie? I say, and even to my own ears it sounds like a wish rather than an accusation. We both know it's not, he says, his voice grave and hushed. I stare at him for a beat, letting myself imagine that everything they're saying is true. I drop a wall in front of the wave of panic that is starting to build in my gut. Not now. There's something wrong here. I push back. He nods, but he doesn't back down. There's plenty wrong, especially on your side of things. But it's not a lie. Go ask your mother. When you're ready to talk, I'll be here. Then he steps around me, opens the room door, and walks out. I pull out my phone and call my assistant. Rachel, I'm on my way to Wild House. Meet me there.
Yes, sir, I'm on my way,
she says without missing a beat. Before you leave, visit legal and ask them to print you a copy of my father's death certificate. I'm met with silence. I know it's an odd request, but I need you to get it right now. Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do.
She sounds uncertain, but I know she'll get it the minute we hang up. I'll see you at the house.
Should I let your mother know to expect us?
No. Mother! My shout ricochets off the ceiling of the Wild House's vaulted ceiling foyer. I fling the door closed behind me, and it slams so hard that one of the geometric-shaped plates of glass cracks.
Remy, wait!
Rachel comes rushing out of the sitting room on the right. She is panting, her eyes wide with panic, and her arms stretched out ahead of her, reaching for me. Wait for what? I walk right past her on my way to the stairs. All I can think about is getting to my mother's office and making her tell me the truth. She grabs my arm to still me as I start to stride past her.
Before I tell you where she is, I need to tell you something.
I pull my arm out of her grasp and narrow my eyes at her. What do you mean, tell me where she is? Where would she be but in her office?
I've worked for you since you were a boy, but your mother has always been my employer. I did the job she paid me to do, but I want you to know that as much as I could, I have given you my loyalty.
My blood runs cold. What do you mean, as much as you could? What did she pay you to do? She squeezes her eyes shut and pulls in a deep breath, but doesn't say anything. Never mind, I'll make her tell me herself. I step around her and start toward the door.
I assume that somehow you've learned the truth about your father.
The frayed edge of panic that accompanies her explosive statement stops me dead in my tracks. I turn around slowly and look at her as if I'm seeing her for the first time. Her dark, unruly hair is caught in its normal, haphazard bun. Her face is lightly made up, per usual. She's wearing one of her trademark muted gray skirt suits. Everything looks the same. But it's not. Not even a little. So, it's true. Her expression is stoic, and she squares her shoulders.
It is true.
My knees threaten to buckle. And you've known?
I have helped your family keep the secret. It's what I was paid to do. That, among other things.
Where is she? I ask her. She squeezes her eyes shut like a child who's trying to avoid looking at something scary. Her fists are clenched at her sides, and her body is rigid with tension.
I will be tendering my resignation. I believe it's best that all of this has come to light. I know you'll never trust me again, and I don't blame you. I did as your mother asked because I needed my job. But I do deeply regret that fact. I've known you since you were a little boy, and I've loved you like...
Rachel, I'm not in the mood for a sentimental moment right now. Right now, I need to talk to my mother. Where the fuck is she? I grit out my demand. She gulps and steps back.
She is currently in her office, attempting to shred documents.
You told her I was coming? I ask, unable to believe the level of betrayal. I've trusted this woman with everything.
No, but when I requested these from legal, they did. But I have this.
She holds up a black electrical cord in the air like she's holding a trophy.
She can't shred anything. I just wanted the chance to tell you the truth before I left. I'll go now. I am so sorry.
Her eyes are sorrowful as she turns to walk away. I let her go. And even though her betrayal hurts, there's nothing I can do about it right now. My only priority is finding my mother and getting answers. I walk upstairs slowly. With each step, I prepare for what lies ahead. My entire life upended in just 1 hour, and now I'm walking toward a room where my mother is attempting to destroy evidence of what I've just learned. Our relationship is already non-existent. I keep her far away from anything that's important to me. She's a liar. She has stolen so much from me. I want to tear her limb from limb, but that would mean touching her, and I'm not sure I ever want to do that again. I push the door open and find her on her knees in front of the shredder, her hands moving frantically even as she turns to face me.
Remy,
she gasps, her face ashen. She jumps up and puts her hands out in front of her as if she's afraid. It incenses me even further. I narrow my eyes at her, rage straining the muscles in my face as I try to keep it in check. You act as if I am the violent one, as if I'm dangerous. Have you lied so much that you've forgotten what it is to tell the fucking truth? I can't begin to fathom the lengths they went to in order to keep their secrets. In all of the years that I've mourned my grandfather, I never imagined that I'd ever be glad he was gone. I can't imagine how I would feel having this conversation with him. The thought alone is more painful than I can bear. She shrinks, her chest caving in before she recovers, squares her jaw, and holds my angry gaze with her defiant one. I see so much of myself in her right now, it frightens me. Would I have been capable of it?
Remy, we wanted to protect you,
she says with no remorse. You are a liar! I roar in her face, and she leans back as if my words were hands that were shoving her away from me. We've butted heads my whole life, but she has never seen me lose my cool. Her eyes widen, but then relax again, and she swallows and composes herself, like she's an actor who has rehearsed a scene and is now preparing to perform it for an audience. Her chin tilts up, her expression is stoic, nearly regal.
I am what life has made me. Your grandfather and I thought it best you didn't know the truth.
People get divorced all the time. Men leave their wives all of the time. Why did you have to pretend he died? You held a fucking funeral. I shake my head in disbelief when she merely nods. The last vestiges of my restraint force my hands into fists at my side. I throw my head back, feel the strain of the tendons in my neck as I hold back the howl of pain clawing at the back of my throat. Why? I shout.
Because everyone was told that he died. It wasn't just you. Do you hear yourself? He was my father!
I bellow at her, just completely beside myself at this point. In the blink of an eye, nothing is the same, including me. I've lived my entire adult life in service of living up to the legend they built in my father's name. It's all a fucking lie. And now, I'm done with it. I knew she was manipulative, but this, I'll never be able to understand. How could you do it? Wonder seeps through the brittle cracks in my anger as I take her in. I've spent my entire life wondering why he died so young. The night before my 32nd birthday, I was crippled with fear because I was sure it would be the year I died too. Regan and Tyson have so many of the same fears. How could you do that to your children? I ask, knowing that there's no answer that would suffice.
Remy, your father wasn't just anybody. He was the heir to this empire we were building. His name wasn't his own. It belongs to all of us. We weren't going to let his selfishness ruin everything we'd built,
she spits out. He left you, not his family, I remind her. Her face contorts with anger.
He didn't just leave me,
she slaps her chest with her open palm.
He left you and Regan and Tyson and his father, his entire family.
I can see that even now she feels no remorse, and the instant it takes to snuff out a candle, any lingering affection I had for her disappears.
He betrayed us, spectacularly, callously. He left you,
she insists. A day ago, those words would have hurt. But I know they're not true. I read his letter. I put my hand in my pocket and stroke the outline of the key inside the envelope.
We gave him a choice, us or her. And he chose her.
I don't blame him. You were the alternative. She marches up to me and slaps me, hard enough to turn my head, but I barely feel it. I don't feel anything but empty and rudderless.
He loved me.
Her voice wobbles and she pants, her breaths coming hard and shallow.
I was his wife. I gave him children. We had plans. Then she came back.
She deflates and sinks into the seat behind her. Her body droops like a broken doll.
It happened so fast. Your grandfather warned him, then he followed through on it. Cut him out.
Because he loved someone else? I shake my head in disgust.
Because he was disloyal!
Her retort comes out as a growl.
A year later, he left her, too. Walked out and never came back. Probably fell face down in a ditch somewhere, pissed drunk, and never woke up.
She thinks he's alive. My mother blinks like I splashed water in her eyes.
She's delusional.
Her eyes widen slightly and then dart nervously to the shredder.
What are you trying to shred?
I eye the machine and the pile of documents strewn in front of it. She steps into my line of sight.
His death certificates, they have the real dates on there. The declaration date, 7 years after he disappeared. When it was issued, I ordered a copy from the county clerk, and other documents, our divorce records. Unlike his death certificate, they were sealed. You would never have found them, but I have them here. Newspaper clippings, things that if you ever looked, might have told you the truth.
She lists the items like they're nothing, and I'm beyond incredulity at this point. God forbid I learn the truth, right? I say, exhaustion creeping into the bitterness edging my voice.
Yes, God forbid. I would never have told you.
Why is that your decision to make?
Because I am the one who was left to pick up the pieces, to raise you as best I could. I was 23. I'd only come here from Jamaica 7 years prior. I had no one but him and his family. Nothing but quick thinking and the sense the good Lord gave me. I made a decision, and I would do it again.
Her eyes fill with tears. I've never seen her even come close to crying. It renders me dumb. She looks at me with a plea in her eyes, but she's not begging me for forgiveness. She doesn't think she's done anything wrong. She wants me to understand. I know I never will.
I don't know how you could do this,
I say quietly. A hollow numbness has started to soften my anger.
I haven't remarried. I haven't done anything but help your grandfather grow Wild World so you'd have something worth inheriting. Everything I've done has been for that.
Was making sure Cal and I broke up and stayed that way also for me? Her expression goes from woeful to angry in a flash.
I wish I'd never heard that girl's name.
I wish you had to hear it every day, I retort.
She would have ruined you.
Her hand slices through the air in anger.
The way Georgina ruined your father, and I would not allow it. One day, when you have children of your own, you will understand.
She lifts her chin and crosses her arms over her chest.
I loved her, I say angrily. You loved her too much, but once she was gone, you hit your stride. You've done so much.
She looks like she hopes I'll agree. I don't even hear her anymore. All I wanted was her.
Look what you have achieved without her.
Look how I've suffered without her, I shout back, and her eyes widen and fill with tears again.
Oh, God, Remy.
Her fingers flutter to her face and press against her trembling mouth.
You can't say anything or do anything. This cannot become public knowledge. I don't want people to know your father sired Hayes Rivers. People can't know that he wasn't the man we've said he was. It would ruin the branding we have created for Wild World.
Branding? Are you serious?
Just when I thought nothing could surprise me, she proves me wrong.
Yes, I'm serious. You know this.
Her tears clear and her expression grows stern.
You were groomed to know it. Wild World is bigger than all of us. It will live longer than all of us. What we want isn't important.
She waves her hands around the room.
This family is an institution now. We built Rivers Wild. We are one of the largest grocers in the United States. We serve nearly every single prison system in the country. We run the food programs for 8 countries in South America. Do you think you can just dismantle that because you didn't get to grow up with your father and his whore?
She sneers at me. She was his wife, I remind her, just to twist the knife in.
I was his wife.
She points at her chest. Then she looks at me the same way I looked at her a few minutes ago, as if the light around me had shifted and she could finally see me clearly.
Oh, the irony.
She throws her head back and laughs dryly. What?
After all my efforts to make you a better man, you still ended up just like him. At least he knew he couldn't have both. You still think life is fair. You're such a fool.
She sneers at me. I think I hate you. Her face falls. The sorrow in her eyes isn't feigned. She folds her hands in front of her and nods.
I know you do.
It's the saddest thing I've ever heard, yet I feel nothing. We stare at each other, mother and son, enemies, broken, with nothing between us but a sea of broken glass neither of us are willing to hazard crossing. This isn't my family. This isn't my home. I don't know who I am, or what I am. I've lived my entire life with a lie guiding my decisions. The man I tried to be was shaped by myth. It grew roots that bound me when the woman I love slipped out of my grasp. And it was all a fucking lie, including me. An hour later, I drive away from Rivers Wild, and if I have my way, I'll never be back.
1. The Start. 18 years ago, Houston, Texas. 1. Legends and Lies. Cal. The door to the library opens and I stop writing. My heart races and my hands tremble so badly that my notebook slips from my fingers and lands with a thud on the floor. Loud voices and the blare of music that flood the room disguise the noise. I pick it up and press my body close to the wall and hold my breath. My mother will kill me if I get caught in here. We haven't even been at the party for 30 minutes. I thought I'd have at least another couple of hours before I had to go looking for her. The sound of approaching footsteps sends my pulse into a wild gallop. My heart feels like it's attached to a boomerang inside my chest. But for those footsteps, the library is as quiet as it had been when I'd snuck in here. The door opens again, and I lift my feet off the ground and hug my knees tightly to my chest and hold my breath. I told you to get upstairs! A woman's voice cracks through the air like a whip, even over the loud din from outside, and I nearly jump out of my skin and my eyes widen in terror. All I can see is the dark blue backing of the curtain. Don't just stand there. Answer me. Her voice is so cold, so hard, that I close my eyes again, the figure forming in my mind. I imagine her to be tall, with a narrow face that's shrouded by the thousands of snakes that slither on her head where her hair should be. They hiss and bite each other constantly. I imagine that her eyes are entirely black, but her mouth is strangely beautiful. It's heart-shaped, with lips that are coated with a poisonous apple-red lipstick.
I just came to get my books.
The boy's voice is frightened and sad. I wish I could give him a hug. The way he sounds is the way I feel a lot. With my eyes closed, I can just imagine him. He's small and skinny, with hair that needs cutting and shoes that are so small the toes are rubbed thin. The worn cuff of his two sizes too small pants stop above his bony ankles.
Just make sure you don't linger, and don't let me catch you sneaking downstairs one more time, Remington. I just wanted to see the other kids. Why?
Her voice is like the surprise of a clap of thunder when there's not a cloud in the sky. I press my lips together and bite them to stifle the whimper that's bubbling in my throat.
You have forgotten who you are, what your responsibilities will be. You don't get to mingle. You've got to set yourself apart. And you don't do that by sneaking down to a party when you
Sample complete. Ready to continue?